And if you're visiting this morning, let me introduce myself. Anybody visiting, just wave at me. Say, I don't even know who you are. Okay. Lewis Kayaton. I am the senior pastor. I use that word, senior, of Church on the North Coast. Been in ministry 40 years, 37 as the pastor. And we kind of go all over the four different campuses. So we're here preaching with you today, and I'm excited. I heard Chris Callahan did a great job last Sunday, those of you that were here. And so we're thankful for that. So we're just appreciative of the fact that you're here and hope that you'll check us out and get to know the people. The people are the resource here. The building is pretty. The land is gorgeous. I'm looking at the water. It's like, wow, that's really nice. But you know what the best thing is? The presence of the Lord and one another. That's really what the best thing is. So I'm going to share a word with you this morning. Can I do that? Just for a couple of minutes. I won't take a long time. Couple meaning like 40. But nonetheless, Isaiah 26 and 3. How many have ever been through a storm in your life? How many got in a storm when everything looked like anything but a storm? Like, for example, you started your day, it was blue skies, it was sunshine, the waters were calm, and then in the middle of the day, wouldn't you know it, a storm came. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, I'm talking to the right people. The rest of you, I don't know, you just have the favor of God. You've never been in a storm. Isaiah 26 and 3, what I like to do when I speak is I like for us to read the scripture together. So turn your attention up there to the TV monitors. Let's read it together. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now we're going to try that one more time. Because some of you caught up, you weren't sure that we're really going to read it out loud, but we are. Let's try it again. Ready? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isn't that a crazy verse? How many would like to stay in perfect peace? Man, I would. No matter what happens, no matter what other people do, no matter how many storms I'm in, I could stay in perfect peace. Tell me more. Tell me more. I think that's really what we're hearing when we read this scripture. The word mind, who keeps his mind stayed on him, is the central agent of imagination and thought. So if I can keep my imaginations and my thoughts stayed on God, I can then, in exchange for that act of obedience or of my will, experience perfect peace. Perfect peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness, harmony. I mean, we're talking about a life full of joy in the midst of all kinds of storms in life. Because there are storms in life everywhere we look. Now, look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Peace has a personality. Say that with me. Peace has a personality. What is the personality of peace? It is a controlling agent. Mark 4:39 talks about a story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Galilee. And it said he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Well, what happened here? The disciples were told to go to the other side. It was a sunny day like today. But halfway through, a storm arose, and it just turned the tables on everything. That's what that phone call does to us. That's when someone reacts to us. That's when someone opposes us. That's when the money runs out at the end of the month. It's all of those things, unexpected, suddenly they arise, and now we're in the middle of a storm, and we don't know what to do. What did the disciples do? Lord, don't you even care that we're about to die here? They had already resigned themselves to the fact that they weren't going to make it. Have you ever felt that way in the middle of the storm? I'm not going to make it. And somebody comes up to you and says, oh, you're going to make it. I'm praying for you. And you want to hit them. You just want to smack them. Look, I need some help here. I don't need your prayer. I need some help. But Jesus was asleep in the boat. And they had to wake him up. And he came to the deck, looked at the storm, spoke to the storm, and he said, peace, be still. Because the character of peace was present in the boat. He is the Prince of Peace. Who's Jesus? The Prince of Peace. Come on with me. What is Jesus? The Prince of Peace. Look at your neighbor and say, He's the Prince of Peace. You and I need to understand that if you have Jesus, you have the Prince. If you have Jesus, you have the Prince. He's the Prince of Peace. How many know He's your healer? If you have Jesus, you have the healer. How many know that Jesus is the center of the joy of the Father? So that means if you have Jesus, you have the joy of the Lord. Now, if I have all these things, what I've got to do is wake it up. I've got to get it to somehow invest itself in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my problem that I'm facing right now. Listen to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now I'm understanding a little more about peace. Not only does it have a character, not only does it have authority over storms, but it also has an agency of protection or guardianship. Meaning when the Prince of Peace is operating in my life, even though I'm going through an unsettled time or a time that's difficult, I have a sentinel. I have a guard. I have an escort with me that will guard my heart and my mind against fretting or against faithlessness or against making decisions out of my carnality. Have you ever made a decision out of desperation and wished you could have it back? We've all done that. But here's the beauty about peace. Peace will guard your heart and your mind, because the mind is the imagination center, the thought center. Where was it supposed to be? Not on the storm. It's supposed to be on God. According to Isaiah 26:3, he who keeps his mind stayed on him shall have perfect peace. But it's difficult when you see the waves crashing over the side of the boat, when you see your ledger at the end of the month, when you hear the word spoken by people you thought loved you. It's difficult to keep your mind stayed on God, isn't it? It is hard to do unless you have trained your senses in righteousness. This is a work, folks, every day of my life. It is a discipline. You got to train your thinking. You got to train your mind. Why? Because if I can stay it on God, I'm going to have perfect peace. I don't know what this day holds, but I know this. Perfect peace can overpower any storm. Perfect peace can speak to a storm and it will be at rest, because it guards my heart and it guards my mind. Jesus trusted in God and it overpowered the storm. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that they that trust in the Lord will keep their mind stayed on Him. Jesus already said we're going to the other side. Here's the storm that's defying the commandment of God. God already said, I'm going to meet all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now you're in a financial storm. Well, I'm not going to change because the storm is so real. I have to make what God said realer. Yes. I like that word. It's not a word. But anyway, I like that. I need to apply the fact that God's word is more evidence than the ledger, because God's not going to lie to me. How do I now not allow the storm to overpower me? How do I not, like the disciples, say, I'm going to jail. I'm going to die. I'm going to lose. That's what they said. And then Jesus came up and quietly said, O ye of little faith, didn't you know I was in your boat? Didn't you know I was in your boat? Did you not know God was in your boat? Don't look at your neighbor and ask him that. But didn't you know that God is in your life? If he is, he's a big God. He's not a little God. He's not a dashboard-sized God. Come on, he's bigger than that. He's bigger than your earbobs. He's bigger than the thing wearing around your necklace. He is bigger than the little bookmark you have in your Bible. God is a big God. And you can't limit God because the storm is so real. You've got to trust in the Lord and then do what? Keep your mind stayed on Him. Did you know you can decide to be at peace? You can decide to be at peace. You could decide to be peaceful. Now, I'm not suggesting up here that it's easy, because I've had my trials. We've all had our trials. And in the middle of those, I'd have to say, oh, I'm going to be peaceful. Sometimes I have to go into the bathroom, look at myself in the mirror and go, hey, you need to be peaceful. And it's weird because I almost talk back to myself and say, not right now. But we have to make the choice, and this is key, to stop permitting ourselves to get upset, aggravated, and frustrated. Aggravation, frustration, emotional upheaval is not becoming to Christians. Why you make me so mad? Well, you're not acting like a Christian right now. Well, yeah, but that's life. No, that's life in this kingdom. But life in his kingdom, we fly above the storm. Because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So watch this. I need to make a choice to stop allowing myself to get upset, aggravated, frustrated, mad, resentful, unforgiving towards situations or people. Why? Because John 14:1 says this. Can you put it up there and I want us to read it? Come on, let's read it. Let not your... You believe in God. Why would he say, let not your heart be troubled, if he wouldn't empower you to let your heart not be troubled? God wouldn't ask you to do something he would empower you to do. Come on. Now, so I'm saying, God, you said, let not your heart be troubled. But right now, Father, my heart's feeling pretty troubled. But I'm just going to lean into your word. I'm going to put my mind, my thoughts, and my imaginations on you, because I trust what you said. So I'm going to trust you and put my mind on the fact that I don't have to be troubled, that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I don't know where it's going to come from, but you know what? That's not my assignment. That's your assignment. My assignment is just to believe that you will. And if I can do that, peace will guard my heart and mind against an invasion of faithlessness. See, the enemy just really wants to use us as agents of his to speak negativity, to speak faithless words, to prophesy to ourselves. Come on. We can't take the bait. The only way to stay is to take personal responsibility for where we are at the moment. Let me say that again. If you're going to stay your mind on God and have perfect peace, then you and I are going to have to take personal responsibility for where we are right now in this moment. Where are you right now in this moment? Well, I'm a little upset. I got up this morning and the dog ate my slipper. Look, you have to take personal responsibility. Go buy a new pair of slippers. Don't allow that to cause your day to be slanted and impact and affect everybody that you come in contact with. Because you know what's going to happen? That slant or that emphasis is going to cause you to miss the voice of the Holy Spirit. And where you could have encouraged someone, prayed for someone, believed with someone, released a faith word to someone, because you have been overcome by aggravation, upset, anger, and emotional upheaval, your heart and mind weren't guarded by peace. And as a result, now you miss the flow of the kingdom. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, that's not true. Tell me that's not true. I've done it. I'm going to admit it. I'll be the only one in here that admits it. But I have done that. So watch. Take personal responsibility where we are at the moment. Never allow the things from your past or things from your present to become an excuse to stay there. Well, you know how they are every time they come over for Thanksgiving. Here they come. They're pulling up. Oh, boy, here comes Auntie M and them. You know, we already have a past experience brought into the present. We are totally out of faith. And when we are out of faith, we are out of connection with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And how many know we are his voice in the earth? So how do I stay my mind on God? Well, a successful stay when it comes to an animal. Does anybody have a dog that's trained that when you say stay, it stays? Anybody? Kind of, sort of. Sue said, yeah, sort of. Some people have animals that if you tell them to stay, they won't get up until you give them another command to go. It's incredible. How do they do that? How does a dog respond to the command stay and overrides its natural instincts to go eat, to go run, to go chase another dog, to go lick your face? Whatever it is, that animal supersedes all of its natural instincts because it has the command to do what? Stay. So when stay is spoken, it's over. Here's how it's done. I did a little research. I don't have a dog. I've tried this with my dogs, but I'm kind of like Sue. You know, I say stay, and it stays for 2 or 3 steps, and then I'm following me. I said stay, go back. Here's how you do it. According to some trainers that are very good at this, it takes 5 to 10 minutes at 2 to 3 intervals a day, 5 to 10 minutes, 2 to 3 times per day, to train your animal to stay when you command it to stay. Now, I'm just going to ask this question. If it takes 2 to 3 times a day at 10-minute time periods to train an animal to stay, how can you and I expect not to stay our mind on God when we're in the middle of a storm if we haven't been trained?
That's right.
That's good.
We don't practice. Every day, I got to train. 2 or 3 times on Monday, guess. Lord, I'm going to stay my mind on you because I know I'll have perfect peace. Thank you, Lord. The peace of God guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, you're going to meet all my needs. I thank you, Father, that you are with me right now. Holy Spirit is my comforter and my friend. I thank you, God, that nothing around me can defeat me because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And for 10 minutes, I practice staying my mind on God. Now, why is that important? Because when the storm comes and it gives me other commands, scream now. You know, you're like, I'm going to die. When you have that other command coming, you're like, staying on God. Because I'm trained my natural senses to be fixed upon him. Now, folks, this doesn't come automatically. If you think you could do it by just attending church and casually reading your Bible a few times a week, it doesn't work. It takes aggressive training to realize that my peace that I give you, my peace, Jesus said, that I leave you, not as the world gives, do I give unto you. It will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It will do something else I'm going to share with you in a minute as well. But it requires us to train ourselves in righteousness. Colossians 3, verse 2. Colossians 3, verse 2, if you can put it up, please. Let's read it. Ready? Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. So for 10 minutes, 2 to 3 times a day, I have to fix my mind on things above. Now, we are trained to set our mind on the latest news report from CNN. Come on, that's what we're setting our mind on. Or the latest gossip, you know, from the neighborhood. Or whatever, what the rumors are around work. We set our mind on that. Or we set our mind on what somebody said. Do you believe they said that? I can't believe they said that. It could be the exact antithesis of what God's promised, but because so-and-so said it, we're repeating it. And our mind is set on what they said. All that's doing is reinforcing our wandering minds. It is training in unrighteousness. We don't even realize we're training ourselves to be defeated. I'm not going to train myself to be defeated. I'm going to train myself to have victory. Because I know not if storms come, it's when storms come. Come on, say that with me. It's not if storms come, it's when storms come. You know, when the floodwaters rise, the winds begin to blow. That's going to happen in your life. But he who is planted, right, on the rock, keeps his mind stayed on him, when the floodwaters begin to dissipate, I'm still standing. I may be dripping and a little soggy, but guess what? I'm still standing. I may be weeping and crying during the storm because I'm a little fearful emotionally, and God understands that, but I'm not moving. I'm staying my mind. I'm staying my mind on God because I know that He is faithful, right? God is faithful. So once my mind has been trained, it will stay by my command to stay. Did you hear that? I have to command my mind, stay. Like I command my dog, stay. Command my mind. I say, mind, you stay on God. Right now, stay on God. Don't you be talking nasty about that person in that other car that just cut you off. Stay on God. Right? Come on, stay on God. I got to command my mind to stay on God. So the victory is in the staying up. Romans 16:20. I love this verse. This verse I wanted to preach on, but it's only part of the message. Come on, let's read it. And the God of peace will under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read that first part again because I like that. All right, ready? And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Man, do I like that scripture. Whew. Man, how many know the devil thinks he can crush you? He thinks he's the crusher. He's not the crusher. He's the crushed. But notice who does the crushing. Not you or me. God does the crushing. But how does God do the crushing? The God of peace crushes them. The God of peace crushes them, right? So therefore, I have to have my mind stayed on God. I'll have perfect peace. Or I initiate the power of the God of peace who does what? Crushes Satan. He destroys the enemy. I can't do it. I don't have any power in myself. I can yell, scream. I could throw books at him and hymnals. And I could fast and I could pray and I can go to church every day of the week. That doesn't crush Satan. What crushes Satan is the God of peace. So if I keep my mind stayed on him, I have perfect peace. And it's shortly. Shortly, soon. In other words, I may be going through a trial, but joy cometh in the morning. God is about to prove himself strong in my life. Look, I don't have enough today, but tomorrow it's going to be a better day. I've had some difficulty today, but next week's going to be amazing because my God is for me and not against me. Now, I think that's a good place because you're a relatively new congregation. We'll only do a 15-second praise break. But come on, give God praise. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! You're a good God. Yeah! Woo-hoo! Thank you, Father. Woo-hoo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty good. You guys went over 15 seconds. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Watch this. Paul said it. Look, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because I don't leave my perfect peace place. Peace is a place. Peace is a location. Peace is an existence. Peace has character. Peace has authority. It's God. He is the God of peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That was peace. God came into the earth. Emmanuel, Christ with us. That is peace, came to the earth. We don't understand it. We put it on a little card and send it for Christmas. We sing it in a little carol. But you understand the God of peace crushes Satan under our feet? Whew, that is so powerful. Never leave your peace place. Never leave your peace place. Because when you do, God starts crushing. In the peace place, the crusher gets crushed. And that's the enemy. Watch this, Genesis 3:15. Let me give you four things that I would do, that I do, doo-doo, that I will perform in the moment of struggle, trial, and storms in life. Because I know I'm susceptible to a storm this afternoon. Because right now it's sunny and calm. And T and I enjoyed our morning. We had coffee and we had prayer. We smiled and we had fun together. We drove over. We enjoyed each other's presence. We're here with you. Everything's smooth sailing, man. But I know this afternoon a storm could arise. But I'm not moved by storms. Because my mind is stayed. I wish I could say that 100% of the time. I wish I could tell you, yep, Pastor does it 100% of the time. No. But here's four things to do to keep your mind stayed on the promises of God. Number one, everybody say number one.
Number one.
All right, remember the promise. Say it with me. Remember the promise. How do you keep your mind stayed on God? Remember the promise. Remember the promise. He said you're going to the other side. Remember the promise. Here's what it said in Genesis 3:15. And he will crush your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. That was a promise by God to the devil that Jesus will crush you. So the God of peace is going to crush Satan shortly under your feet. That means it's the fulfillment of the evangelium, the proto-evangelium, Genesis 3:15. It's the promise of the Messiah. When you stay in peace, you are fulfilling a prophetic word right out of the Garden of Eden for your life. And you give God the glory. Man, I want to give God the glory in my life. I don't want man to get the glory. I don't want the church to get the glory. I want some preacher to get the glory. I want God to get the glory, right? Amen. Jesus will crush your head. So part of staying in peace is to remember the promise. Who's going to do the crushing around here? Satan, I just need to remind you, you're not going to do the crushing around here. God's going to do the crushing. And you are about to get crushed. And it's happening shortly. Number two, say number two. Disarm the devil. Say it with me. Disarm the devil. So number one was remember the promise. Number two is disarm the devil. That's Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Stay in peace and make a spectacle of the devil again. When you stay in peace, you mock the enemy. When you stay in peace, you reenact Jesus' work over the enemy, when he made a spectacle, when he disarmed the powers and principalities of the air. When I stay in peace, I'm like, na 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 boo boo. I say, devil, you have no authority. Jesus is the Lord of all.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Disarm the devil. Say number three. All right, ready? Resist the temptation to leave peace. Say it with me. Resist the temptation to leave peace. We said, remember the promise. Disarm the devil. Resist the temptation to leave peace. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does the devil do? He comes to give you alternatives in the midst of the storm. In the midst of trouble. If you just do this. If you'll just do that, if you'll just go to Egypt and get help, if you'll trust in a chariot, if you'll trust in the strength of a horse, if you'll just trust in your finances, if you'll just trust in your proudness, your education, your craftiness. No, 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 I trust in the Lord. I resist the devil's temptation to leave peace. It's the natural instincts of self-preservation. We all have them. But that animal is trained to stay when the command is given, stay. And it's like, and what is it doing? It's waiting in anticipation for the command to be released. And it's instinct. You could put a T-bone steak right down on the ground, right there. And the dog's like, but it won't move. Why won't it move? Because it's trained to what? Stay. That's a temptation. What does it have to do? It has to resist the temptation. How? By staying in the command. Resist the devil and he will flee. You resist that stake and the temptation to go after the stake will leave you. You'll be looking at that stake going, I don't even want that stake. I wanted it, but I don't even want it now. I don't care. It can be sitting there all the time. You know, it's that way with dieting. I notice that. Like when I get sugar out of my system or I don't eat certain foods, like for the first couple weeks or months, I'm like, I want some of that. And now, after a while, I've trained myself that I can resist. It doesn't even have a voice anymore. It used to have this mega voice. Eat me. Hey, eat me. And now it has this little voice. Eat me. Eat me. I'm like, shut up. And now it goes, it just goes deaf. It doesn't even have a voice. I walk right by it. I open up the cupboard. I'm like, I'm looking for some protein. I'm looking for some almonds. And I'm wading through the chips. And I'm wading through the pretzels. And I'm wading through the candy. And I'm like, it used to have big voices. Now it doesn't have anything. I just walk right through and I grab the almonds. And I take out 19 almonds. You can't eat more than 19 because then it's too much fat. I don't know who told me 19. I think it was Sue Jordan. And I count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 18, 19, 20. Ha ha! I'm going to eat 20. The temptation loses its authority and power in the resisting. Hear this. Resistance is powerful. Indulgence is deadly. Resistance is powerful. Indulgence is deadly. I have guys come to me and say, Pastor, I just can't quit drinking. I said, well, you got to throw the bottle away. You got to stop going out clubbing. I just can't. I'm just so tempted to look at this bad stuff on the internet. I said, well, get rid of the computer. I can't do that. I mean, you know, I'm going to read the paper on there. Dude, you're lying. You got to resist the indulgence. You resist it and rather than indulge in it. Because what you feed
lives
or grows. What you feed grows. Say it with me. What you feed grows. What you starve. So feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. It's what you feed grows. What you starve dies. Resist the temptation and it will flee from you. That's a powerful thing. I mean, you can walk right in to a bar and order a 7-Up and witness to the guy in the street previously being an alcoholic. Why? Because Jesus has delivered you and you've resisted. You're in peace. It has no power. Satan has crushed that thing under his feet, not your feet. It's not us. It's God. It's not our willpower. Stop that willpower stuff. It is God's ability, his dunamis. So resist the devil. Number four. Say number four. Armor up. Armor up. Say it with me. Armor up. You and I got to get up in the morning and we got to armor up. What does it mean to armor up? Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why did God give us armor to stand against the devil? Because he knew the devil was a smart character. He's relentless. He has fiery darts. Everybody say ouch. Okay, four of you said it. Say ouch. You hit one of them Dales in that pew, you'll say ouch. Ouch. Fiery darts hurt. They hurt. He's got them. He has strategy to defeat us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's what the Bible said. But did you know form means custom made to your weakness? He knows your weakness. And he goes, okay, let's craft this for, you know, Lou here. Oh, yeah, this is what he falls for every time. And I'm like, stay just a little bit longer. And I'll overcome that temptation. Because when I resist, it loses its authority. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. I want to live victoriously, don't you? Man, I want to live victoriously. I figured if I'm going to go to church and be a Christian, and, you know, don't spit, kick the dog, you know, cuss, you know, get drunk on the weekends. You know, I think I'm going to make this work. Either that or let's just cash in the chips and go out there and have a ball. Let's make this work. Let's not make this difficult. Let's not make this a defeated life where we're always living in the past, always pointing fingers, always angry, always frustrated, always indulging, repenting. You know what I'm talking about? Let Satan crush. I mean, let God crush Satan under your feet. That was only four. There's not a five. So that means I'm almost done. Watch this. Matthew 5:9. I love this scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, I could preach just there. Look at your neighbor and said, hello, peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. So what does it say? Blessed are the peacemakers for what? Shall be called what? Sons of God? Woo-hoo! You got to be kidding me. Jeremy, that's crazy good right there. If you weren't like busted in your knee, I'd make you run with me right now. Like, woo! But I'm busted in my knee, so I can't run either. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Did you know all of creation's like, oh, please, oh, today? Groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation's going, sons of God, sons of God, sons of God. I mean, they wake up in the morning, the trees are like, sons of God, sons of God, where are you? And we're like, we're indulging right now. The sons of God. When you and I are peacemakers, how do we make peace? By staying our mind on Him who gives us what? Peace. Perfect peace. Perfect. Perfect peace. I'm like, oh my gosh, when I operate in perfect peace, I'm a son of God on the earth. Do you know what the implications of that is? Another sermon, another time. Making peace is the duty of sons.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Not children.
Sons.
Sons. Not servants. Sons. You know you're maturing into a son when you make peace. How do we make peace? By staying our mind on Him. How do we do that? By trusting in what He promised. It's very, very simple if we train ourselves in righteousness. So I can't be watching all them soap operas all day long. Oh, my show is on. That's cool, but get 30 minutes of training before you watch it. Give God equal time. So if you watch a 3-hour football game, do 3 hours of training. That ain't going to happen, is it? I'm not suggesting you have to do 3 hours. How about 10 minutes? 2 to 3 times a day. Until your mind is stayed on Him and temptation has no pull in your life. You can walk right by it. So it's just not on my radar. This is the beauty of what Jesus did. Jesus came and He was at peace with God and man. You know how good it is to live life with peace with other people? Not mad at anybody. I'm not angry at anybody. I love everybody. This is weird. I love them. Peace with God. Peace with man. The sons of God, all creation is waiting for them to be revealed. And you and I have that opportunity this day, November 27th, 2016, at 11:22 in the morning. We have to make a decision what we're going to do with it. Is it just another sermon to fill another Sunday? Or is it a word that came from heaven that gives you direction in your life to gain victory, to have Satan crushed under your feet? And your children to walk in righteousness and understand how they can live in victory as well, expanding the kingdom in this region? Ah, I think think so. Because anybody can fill a sermon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Romans 8:19 is the scripture. And then I'm going to stop with this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you think it'll be today? Do you think it'll be today? Do you think it'll be right here in Wycliffe? Do you think it'll be in that little white church up there on the hill? Do you think it'll be in that little former whatever it was church over there? Do you think that revealing will come?
Yes.
I'm like, God, yes, let it be us. We don't have to have massive numbers for it to happen. We just have to have massive obedience and keeping our mind stayed on Him. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I'm going to minister prayer in just a moment. And a song that I selected that I love. It's Wrap Me in Your Arms. I don't know if you remember that. It's kind of an older chorus, but I want to go into that in a minute. But Bruce Hall was a very young man when he first came to us. I think he was what? 12? 10? 10, 9, 12? I don't know. He was very young. And Bruce had a very difficult life. His father was killed, I believe, in a drug deal or something, right? Shot in Cleveland. He was scalded, burned in hot water over three quarters of his body. He nearly died. Really grew up with a lot of anger and resentment. He gets saved. God fills him with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And his heart starts to get healed and mended. And he got this compensation for the scalding of lots of money. And somebody, a Christian organization, stole it from him. Huh?
Ponzi.
A Ponzi scheme. Stole it all from him. Just when he was making strides forward. Mm-hmm. And he said, Pastor, I feel like I'm called of God to pastor a church. I'm like, you probably are, because the devil hates you. Killed your dad. Scalded three quarters of your body. Stole all the money compensation from you. He moved to Florida to try to start a church 2 years ago. And experienced some of the most difficult racial prejudice in his life. And he almost gave up. I'm like, Bruce, don't give up.
That's right.
His wife, I don't know how old she was, probably 6 or 7 when she first came to church. Man, I'm old. She and he got married. Have two beautiful kids. And I want to introduce them to you this morning via video. Right now they have 32 people ready to launch first Sunday in January that are on their launch team. And everything they raise, the organization that they're starting the church with, will match it up to $50,000. So if we took an offering of $1,000, that organization would give them an additional $1,000 to help them start their church. So if you have that video, just a couple minutes, would you mind watching it? These are really special people. It's kind of like me showing you pictures of my kids or something. But go ahead, put it on, Matt. Turn it up. Let's watch Bruce and Crystal.
This is the Hall family from Champion City Church here in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Kayson reached out to us and wanted to give you guys an update as to where we're at with Champion City. For those of you who don't know who we are, our family called CNC home for a very long time. And a few years ago, we felt called to Florida to start a church, which is now Champion City Church. We are in our pre-launch phase, and we're approaching our launch date, and Pastor Kayson reached out and wanted to know how you guys can be of help to help us launch Champion City Church strong. And so we wanted to give you a couple things that you can do to help us do that. And then number one is prayer. As you know, this is a spiritual battle. We are on the forefront trying to reach souls for Christ. And we've seen so many lives change. There's been marriages change. There's been people have given their lives to Christ. And we've seen prodigals come home. And so it's a spiritual battle. And we're going to need your help to make sure that we are taking ground for Jesus. And number two is to give. We are right now in the phase of building our launch budget. Our launch budget is going to cover our financial expenses as far as hopefully rent for the first 2 or 3 months. It's going to buy our sound equipment, screens for the visual equipment, children's ministry equipment, you name it. Everything that we're going to need to start Champion City Church strong is going to be taken out of that launch budget. And so we ask that you would pray about what you could do to help us to make Champion City Church launch in a strong way. Listen, you don't have to be in Florida to contribute to what God is doing here. Your prayers and then your financial gifts will make a ton of a big difference here in Tampa. And we've also partnered with an organization who has agreed to double every dollar that you give to Champion City Church, up to $50,000. That's an amazing thing. And so we want you guys to pray and ask the Lord what he would have you to do on this Sunday after an amazing Buckeyes win. Come on, somebody.
Woo!
Again, like we said, a few years ago, we moved here to Florida to start the church. And man, God has really taken what originally started out as a family with a dream and turned it into 32 adults and what seems like a million kids right now, which is a good thing. The church is fruitful and we multiply. That's what's up. So we just want you guys to be a part. And we know that this is a time of year where we typically give towards others, our family and our friends for Christmas. But how great of an opportunity do we have to give to what God is doing and to make an eternal impact on the lives of those in Tampa, Florida. We love you guys with the love of the Lord. Thank you in advance for your prayers, and thank you in advance for sowing financially and helping us to take souls for Christ in this city. We love you guys. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. That's Bruce and Crystal, and both are graduates, 4-year degrees in theological studies, and just proud of them. They worked full-time to get that schooling done, raising their two lovely kids. And so I just want to ask, however the Holy Spirit moves on you, you might want to sow into this work. You could take an offering envelope, and I'm going to ask if we could receive that. The ushers can help us with that. Just to bless them. And even if it's a couple dollars or $5, or just remember, every dollar you give will be multiplied. So if you give 10, it's going to turn to 20. Give 100, it's going to turn to 200. And that's a blessing for us. I want them to know that we have them in our hearts. And church planning is a real special part of what I do. And to connect with these folks and oversee and help them, I've offered my services to them, counseling and consoling them at times of trouble, and just giving them visionary direction. So I'm really, really, really happy for that. So you can make the check out to CNC, or you put it in the offering envelope. And if you can't give today, we understand that. Not a big deal. So ushers, would you come? Father, bless this offering. Thank you for Champion City Church there in Tampa. That's going to turn the world upside down or right side up. That's really what's happening. I pray now, Father, for the multiplication of this offering. We already know it's going to be doubled. So we just pray that it would be doubled again. In your name we ask, amen and amen. Go ahead and receive that offering. Thank you, church. I know that we're all still a young, new congregation, and you may think, I really don't know them, but thank you for trusting me and knowing that I believe in them, and I think they're going to do great. So if you can, just kind of behind me, quietly, put that song on, because I want to minister to people today. You know, when you come to church, oftentimes we don't have the peace of God because we're in a storm. We go through storms. And storms are real. And in the middle of those, at times, you just have to say, God, I just need you to hold me. I need you to be closer to me than you've ever been before. And that's really what this song is talking about. I need you to be closer. And then it says, I need you to wrap me in your arms. I know how Gary and Patty are feeling this morning. They just need God to wrap them in their arms. I know how Chris Callahan's feeling this morning. You've lost a loved one. You just need God to wrap you in your arms. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've gone through a financial storm or a marital storm. Sometimes the most difficult is when a family member goes through a storm. And it's not even your storm, but you're feeling the wind and the waves. I sat down with somebody this week, and he began to tell me about his daughter's heroin addiction and how she almost died. And how while she was in rehab, met a guy who was in rehab, and they ended up getting married. Not a good idea. And how that man brought her back into drugs. She almost died again. And now he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help her. Well, I said, look, I don't either, but I know God does. God has the power and the love to minister to her. Your storm may not be on that level, but it doesn't minimize the fact that it's your storm. So don't even think that God's not interested because you only have 40 mile an hour velocity and they have 100 mile an hour velocity. It's still your storm. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is here to minister peace to you and peace to all of us. I love that verse when Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. I want you to receive the peace of God today. It's tangible. It's authoritative. And it's powerful. So I'm going to ask if we'd all stand. You could turn it up just a little bit, please. Let's just worship for about a whole couple minutes. Can we do that? Focus on Jesus just for a minute. Come on. Turn it up, please. Let's make it a prayer. Draw me close, God.
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms.
requests from pastors. We want to pray today for you. Say, Pastor, I really need God's comfort and peace. While we keep worshiping the Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity before we leave to come and receive prayer. One of these folks will pray with you. So why don't you step out from where you're standing and let us pray with you, all right? Turn it up a little bit, please. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Thank you, Father. Oh, wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. That's our prayer, isn't it? That's our prayer. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Thank you,
Father. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
To the place of shelter. To the place of safety. Wrap me in.
Thank you, Father. To the secret place. Touching us, God, in our heart, in our pain, in our wonderment about what's happening. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God, Father. Thank you.
Nothing like your presence.
You feel comfortable. You could just put your hand on someone's shoulder around you or in front of you. Just pray the peace of God into their life. Would you do that? Just pray the peace of God. Just speak peace to the storm that they're experiencing right now. Because there's not a person in here that hasn't experienced a storm. Just speak peace to it. Father, I thank you. That financial storm, we just speak peace to it. That relationship storm, God, we just speak peace to it. We know, God, that you are the God of peace and that you will crush the enemy under our feet. And so right now, Father, we just thank you that the Holy Spirit is present and here right now. We acknowledge you to minister strength to those that are in need. Father, those that have been in sorrow, those, oh God, that have been bruised. Father, those that have been hurting today when they came to church. But today, God, when they leave, they will feel healed. They will feel whole. They will feel hope. They will feel help. Because, Father, our help is in the Lord. And we trust you right now, Father. We trust you, God, with our lives. We trust you with our future. We trust you with our present. We trust you, O God, with our past. Because you, O Lord, know what we need. And you, O God, are a gracious Father. For that, Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give the Lord 60 more seconds of praise. You could turn that up high enough so we can hear it. Come on, turn it up. Oh, let's lift our hands up as we conclude this time together. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Come on, church. Our Father in heaven, hallowed. A little more, Todd. Turn it up, buddy.
Your kingdom.
Yeah, your kingdom.
Come quickly. Your will be done.
Comfort. We need your wisdom. So, Lord, thank you this morning that you have ministered to us your peace, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we leave this place this morning mindful of the goodness of our God. And we thank you, Lord, that the tears that we shed are tears now that have turned from sorrow to joy, from hopelessness to help, from weakness to strength. And may we now go, God, knowing that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, that you're with us even to the end of the age. And for this we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. Ladies and gentlemen, live right, love everybody, pray hard. You need prayer, come on up. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.